Saga Egmont presents Dead Winter Bones by Anna Penrose. Read by Natasha Little. Prologue. The storm howled. There was no rain yet, but the wind was fierce, punching through sheds and whipping up waves in the sheltered harbour. Boats slammed against each other as many lost their moorings. Up at Ligon Hall, the trees groaned in protest. Branches were torn from their trunks, crashing down onto the ground below. The storm was turning into a gale as it picked up speed. The clouds raced in front of the moon, plunging the scene of devastation into darkness. Shadows flickered on and off in stroboscopic flashes of light, illuminating the chaos, then plunging back into darkness and the blind roar of the winds. An explosive crack filled the air as a gigantic oak finally succumbed to the unrelenting pressure and slowly at first, and then with monstrous speed, fell. Animals quaked in their burrows as the reverberations of its impact shuddered through the woods. Birds huddling in its canopy flew up in alarm, their wings battering against the winds. In a world turned upside down, the great oak's anchor thrust out of the earth a semicircular crown of mud and roots and a hollowed-out crater beneath. Amongst the debris, the moon shone briefly on a small collection of pale white bones, before the clouds once again drew a veil over the scene. There would always be storms in Golden, and every now and then there would be bodies. Chapter 1. Barry Whitchurch put down his mug and slapped his thighs. The sky was light enough that he could go and inspect the damage to the gardens. As head groundsman, he was responsible for the grounds of Ligon Hall. He oversaw both the family and public gardens, along with the lower arboretum. The farms and outer woodlands were managed separately. Truth be told, man and boy, he'd been a gardener rather than a farmer or an arboriculturalist. Ironically, Fred, the man in charge of the woodlands, was unable to get in due to fallen trees, so Barry had said he would go and see the extent of the damage before returning to the gardens. "Are we going to open today, boss?" asked one of the junior gardeners, a young girl with piercings and blue hair. Barry wondered what Emily's pain was. A lot of troubled souls were drawn to gardening, but she worked hard and maybe he was just an old dinosaur.
"Did you drive or walk to work this morning?" he asked.
"I walked."
"So you won't have seen the big old tree lying across the entrance to the car park then?"
The staff that had made it to work had had to park on the verge before they went and picked up the chainsaws.
"We'll be closed today, and depending on what we find now, we might be closed for a few days."
He studied the small team that had made it in. They would have to do.
"You've all got your radios. Call into the office with details of damage. Sheila will be keeping note of everything. Don't bother with the small stuff, we know there's lots of that."
"What about the broken glass?" Emily asked.
"Yes, if the greenhouses are damaged, call it in. Do not enter them."
He paused and thought about it.
"Also, don't stand too close to any brick walls."
"You think it's going to be that bad, Barry?"
That was Sheila, looking concerned.
Sheila was an excellent administrator, but would sometimes drive him potty with her adherence to matters around health and safety.
"Don't know, but I don't want to find out that a wall has collapsed and one of you is under it. If you see anything that looks off, call it in and we'll get the building team down for an assessment."
He stood up.
"Now you've all got your areas. I'm starting with the lower woods and making my way back up. I'll have my radio on at all times. Let's go."
After leaving the office shed, Barry threw himself into one of the electric buggies. He made it as far as the entrance to the formal gardens, then the path became unpassable. Broken terracotta pots and branches were strewn across.